The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Monday, April the 22nd, 2024. We welcome you to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapparello, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome all the newcomers. If this is your first time joining us, via by Rumble, by YouTube, or wherever you may be able to comment, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We also want to welcome everyone that's listening by Apple, by Spotify, or wherever you hear and get your podcast today. Before we get started today, I'd appreciate it if you guys would hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification so that you can help us push our material out and others can see and be blessed by our teachings and our information as well. And of course, guys, if you've not picked up our free app, I want to encourage you to go to your Play Store today, whatever that looks like for you, Apple, Android, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH trademark logo. If you're watching the visual platform of this, Rumble, YouTube, the main website, whatever the case may be, in the description of this video, there is a link that says download our free app. All you got to do is hit that link. Once you do that, guys, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Every headline, every podcast, breaking news, all of it's going to be right there at your fingertips. So what are we going to talk about today? I want to discuss, we have now on the Hebrew calendar, we are at sundown. We are going to enter into Passover from April 22nd to April 30th. So again, in this space of time on the Hebrew calendar, we are entering into the season of Passover. Now, when I talk about season, I'm talking about there is seven major feasts of Israel. There's what's called the four spring feast and then the three fall feast. I'm going to break these down. So I hope that you'll be blessed by this today, because we are going to break down Passover. What does it mean for the New Testament believer? And why I believe that every believer should commemorate this, because with the Jews all across the world that are commemorating the season of Passover. So if you like equipping messages, this is going to be a great message for you. If you guys are all about the information side of our ministry, and you just want to be informed of news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, come by tomorrow, same channel, same time, same place, and we'll probably have something for you. But I hope you stick by. I hope you stick around, because maybe you'll learn something new today, or maybe this will just sharpen your sword a little bit. But in Israel, the Jews celebrate seven, and not just Israel, but Jews around the world, they celebrate seven major feasts. And again, these are going this order: Passover, which is this Passover is what we're celebrating now. Then you go into unleavened bread. Then you enter into first fruits. Then you go into what's called Pentecost. And then you go into the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. If you're taking notes, those are your seven feasts of Israel. Now, what's really cool about this is these seven feasts, I believe, have major prophetic significance. And I believe four of the seven feasts have been prophetically fulfilled. What do I mean by that? For example, Passover was fulfilled because it was a type and shadow of the lamb that would come. The Bible calls him the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So Passover was fulfilled through Christ being the sacrificial lamb. Then you go into unleavened bread. This represents purging out the sin out of the body. Okay. And this was also fulfilled because Christ, he was a lamb without spot. He was without wrinkle. He was without blemish. The Bible says he was tempted in all points. He was tempted with all types of sin like you and I, but he never yielded to it. He was without sin. This is what made him qualify for this. The unleavened bread. And we'll get more into detail about that as we move on here. Then you have first fruits. And I believe that feast was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified at the cross, gave up the spirit. And the Bible says that the graves of many of the dead were opened. And it was that many of the saints of old were seen walking about the streets. These were the first fruits of the resurrection. They came up out of the grave just as Jesus, come on, got up out of the grave as well. And then 50 days later, you have what was called the Feast of Pentecost. That was fulfilled in the upper room, Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, where the church was birthed, the ecclesia. The church was birthed on Pentecost in the upper room, Acts chapter 2. You can go read that in your own time, and it tells you the whole account of the birth of the church. Now, that's, if you're following along with me, how many feasts is that? That's Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. That's four. I believe on the calendar, on the prophetic calendar, I'm not talking about on the cyclical Hebraic calendar that comes once a year. I'm talking about on the prophetic time frame, the prophetic timeline, eschatological speaking. I believe the next major event to be fulfilled that is a type and shadow of these feasts is the next event, ready, is the Feast of Trumpets. Now, I believe, and everybody's, again, you could differ on this, and that's okay. We're going to have difference of opinions. But I believe that this feast called the Feast of Trumpets is probably the most ideal time frame. And of all the feasts, this is probably the feast wherein which we will see the fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, which we know as the rapture of the church. Listen, let me just give you a little synopsis on this, because I want to get into Passover, because that's what we're going to talk about today. But I can take you into Jewish tradition. I can talk about how there is a series of trumpets blown during the Feast of Trumpets. This is why when Paul addressed the New Testament church, which was, by the way, predominantly Jewish, when he talked about the last trump at the last trumpet, he never had to elaborate on what he meant, because they all understood the Feast of Trumpets. And during the Feast of Trumpets, there's a series of trumpet blasts, and each one of these blasts of trumpets mean a certain things. They mean to gather, to separate, to this, to do that. And then the last trumpet that is blown, and it's literally called the last trump. It's in Hebrew, it's called Tekiah HaGedulah, and it's the loudest and longest trumpet blast, and it literally means to gather together. Oh, come on. Again, I could really take a rabbit trail on this, guys, and talk 20 minutes on that. But again, I believe the most likely timeline. Again, we're not, don't get all flustered and say, oh, well, Brother Ricky is date setting. No. I didn't say what Feast of Trumpets it would take place. I just said that I could see a lot of evidence that is showing that the likelihood of the Lord's rap, the catching away, the gathering together, whatever you want to call this event taking place during the Feast of Trumpets. Now, all of you guys who are pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever, you can do what you want with that. I don't even entertain these people that say there's no rapture, because that's just, in my opinion, that's just erroneous, because there is so much evidence to back that up. I mean, good Lord, guys, what is 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 talking about? If there is no such thing, again, I don't want to get into the whole pre, mid, and post, but if there is no rapture, then pray and tell me what Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, and tells the church, comfort one another with these words. Come on. So let me move on. Then you have the sixth major feast, which is atonement. And I believe that will be fulfilled, because atonement represents the judgment of the righteous and the wicked. And this will take place at the second advent. This is where he comes back. Every eye will see him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. This is the great white throne judgment. This is the Day of Atonement. That's prophetically speaking. Then you go into Tabernacles, and I believe this will be fulfilled with the millennial 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, where he sets up his kingdom on the earth. Now, that is just a quick breakdown of an introduction of these feasts. But today, we're not going to talk about unleavened bread. We're not going to talk about Pentecost. We're not going to talk about trumpets. We're going to talk about what we're in right now on the Hebrew calendar, which is the Feast of Passover. Now, why do I talk about these things? Because I believe, listen, as Western Christians, we tend to, now when I say we, I'm not talking about me, because it's for me in my house, we don't do this, but most Christians that are Westernized, they don't celebrate these seven feasts. They don't talk about them. They don't acknowledge them. They don't commemorate them. They don't do any of that. Instead, they commemorate these paganistic holidays on the Gregorian Western calendar. They celebrate Easter. They celebrate Christmas. They celebrate St. Patrick's Day. They celebrate all these things that has, again, there's no biblical roots or references to that. So that's why we don't talk about Easter. We don't talk about Christmas. We don't talk about Halloween. We don't talk about St. Patrick's Day. We don't talk about these things. I try to stick to the Bible. What did the Bible teach? What did they commemorate? What did they observe in the Bible? And it's these seven feasts. Now, having said that, there is what's called the Minor Feast of Israel. They commemorate as well. Two examples would be the Feast of Purim and the Feast of Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights. Those are some of the minor feasts, but they're not considered the major feasts. So when we talk about Passover or Pesach in Hebrew or Passover, it's the first, again, of the seven feasts, and that's a Hebrew word called Modim. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, that's also found in Genesis 1:14, where he talks about the signs in the sun, moon, and stars. They're there for signs and seasons. That word seasons is Modims. And that's why we've taught about this. We've preached on this for years. And we've told you that when you see these blood moons and these solar eclipses falling on these modims on the Jewish calendar, these if they're falling on these major feast days, then you need to really be paying attention, especially the blood moons in Israel. That's why we talked about all that with Persia or Iran and in Israel, and the blood moon during Purim that's taking place this year, next year, and 2025. So this feast commemorates the Exodus from Egyptian slavery because God's people trusted, watch this, in the blood of the Lamb. If I had to subtitle this message today, it's trust in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Don't get ahead of me. You know where I'm going today. The Passover was prepared on the 14th day of the Hebrew month Aviv, and it marks the deliverance from oppression and the salvation of Israel. Most importantly, the Passover speaks of the Lamb of God. Come on, this is prophetically speaking, who takes away the sins of the world by his crucifixion and subsequent resurrection. Now, here's where we are. Exodus 12, if you're watching, listening, whatever the case may be, I'm using the New King James right here. Exodus 12. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Come on, God is all about, listen, he is all about taking something without blemish. Even in the New Testament, Did you know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back for a church without spot nor blemish? Even the Temple Institute, the Sanhedrin, the priest, it is imperative that they have a heifer, a red heifer that is without spot or blemish. And it alone can be the only thing that can be qualified for the ritual and purification process in order to construct the coming third temple, Revelation chapter 11. So he says, your lamb shall be without blemish, and it should be a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses. This is all going to come into play here in just a moment, where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire, and thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for listen to this, come on, we're going to break all this down, guys. I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods, plural tense, of Egypt, I will execute judgment. That's why there was 10 plagues, because there was 10 major gods in Egypt. By the way, that's a little nugget for you. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you and the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, the Lord speaking here, I will pass over you. Somebody say pass over, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Here's what I found intriguing when I started researching this. I discovered that according to tradition, the blood of this spotless lamb was applied. When they applied this, they applied it in the form of the letter Tav. Let me show you an example of this. For example, the word Tav means mark or seal or sign. As you can see this, in the earliest Hebrew script, the letter Tav was the shape of a cross, much like our English letter. So you guys that are watching the visual of this, right on your screen right here, you see this? In Hebrew, this reads, I am the Aleph. This is what Jesus said. I am the first and the last, or the Aleph and the Tav. And in the Hebrew alphabet, the first letter is the Aleph and the last letter is the Tav. So I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And again, the Tav here is, again, it's shaped like a cross. You can see that right here on your screen. And I thought this was extremely interesting. So notice how they put a cross. Come on, they put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost in the shape of a cross. And it would ultimately be the blood of the lamb that would protect them from the plague coming upon the land. And again, let me highlight this for you. Exodus 12, 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you and the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So again, I want to emphasize here, notice God was the author of the judgment that was coming to Egypt. God was bringing this judgment. And it was God who, oh, come on, God prepared his people, not everybody. God did not prepare the whole world. He prepared his people. He marked his people. He set apart his people. He made a distinction between those who were his and those who were not his. And he said, those who are in covenant with me, I'm going to put a mark on you, and I'm going to protect you and your household. and I'm going to do it through, oh, come on, the lens, looking through the lens of the blood. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Now, why does that make me excited? It makes me excited because I know the word. And I know in Malachi, for example, here's one word. Here's one example, Malachi chapter 3. Again, if you're listening, you're watching, we're in Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to read this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 on. Look what it says here. And then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Oh, my friend, I've come by to tell you today that if you fear the Lord, you and your household, and you fear the Lord, God hears you and knows who you are. So a book of remembrance was written before him. I want to tell somebody there's a book of remembrance in heaven that's written for those who fear the Lord. Look what it says here. Those who fear him and meditate upon his name. Verse 17. Now look what it says about these individuals whose names are in this book of remembrance who fear the Lord and meditate upon his name. Verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day, I make them my jewels. I will spare them. Now look, I know that there is folks out there that don't want to hear this kind of preaching because they keep telling people and they emphatically tell them that the church, the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ, is going to be judged by Jesus Christ through the tribulation and through the wrath of God. My friends, that is not biblical. I don't know how many, there's only so much I can preach about this, guys, and it just falls on deaf ears. Let me give you just some words about this. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. That is not the church, my friend. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That is not the church. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, the Apostle Paul told the church of Thessalonica to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nahum 1:2, the Bible says the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and he reserves his wrath for his enemies. Guys, we are not the enemy of God. Why? Pray and tell me why Jesus Christ is going to take his bride and he's going to pour out his wrath upon his bride when we are not the enemies of Christ. Now, again, this is, to me, it's poor theology. And I don't know how else to explain that. Now, listen, if you guys will not get mad and offended at me, please just, if you'll stick around, I promise you'll be blessed by this message. I want to go back to Malachi. Let's go back to Malachi 3. Now, what are we talking about here? If again, you go into the book of Exodus, you go to Exodus chapter 12, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Again, we're just doing a little bit of a recap here in case you're a latecomer coming onto the podcast. So we see here, there is times, Old Testament, New Testament, that selective judgments come upon the land. But again, scripturally, God preserves, he protects, and he marks those who are in covenant with him. Now, does that mean there are times that the righteous will not perish as well? Of course, guys, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Sometimes we can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some things are not always, just because someone was died in a car accident or a plane crash, or they were killed in a shooting or whatever the case would be, that doesn't mean, guys, that they were a bad person or that they weren't in covenant with God. But what I'm saying is there's no way you can read this Bible and get away from this. Again, I'm going to go back to this. Malachi chapter 3 tells us that there is in heaven a book of remembrance that is written for those who know him. They speak one to another. and meditate upon his name. He says in verse 17 that God will spare them as precious jewels as a man spares his own son who serves him. In verse 18, why is he going to do this? Because he tells us that we shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not. This is exactly, my friends, what we saw in Exodus 12 when Israel was being marked and protected by God to preserve them, because God made a distinction between those who knew him and those who did not. When I read this Bible, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if God did that in under the old covenant, how much more would Jesus Christ not, come on, preserve, protect, and reserve us under the new covenant, under a better promises, under the not the blood of an earthly lamb, but the blood, come on, of the heavenly lamb. And again, I want to emphasize here that Passover is not known as the Lord would pass by the house, but instead when he saw the blood, that he would pass over the house. According to the scripture, not only did the Lord pass through Egypt that night, but the destroyer, the death angel, passed through the land as well. Let me say that again. The Lord allowed the death angel, come on, to pass through the land. Exodus 12, 23. The destroyer was not permitted to enter the homes of those who had the blood upon their door. And here's what's really cool. I thought this was cool. When you look, the word Passover is a Hebrew word, avar. And it literally means here, you got the avar, but then the Hebrew word peshach literally means to spread wings over. We can see this in Isaiah chapter 31, verse 5. Let me read this. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. That's Isaiah 31, 5. Now, guys, if that sounds familiar to you, you go to the New Testament. When Jesus was in Jerusalem and he was rebuking the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law of his day, and he was crying out in the streets of Jerusalem where he was proclaiming that judgment was coming upon that generation. And he said, "Woe unto you, O Jerusalem." And he said, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often have I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." That's a picture of it. It's this covering. You know where else you see this? Psalms chapter 91. Let me pull that up. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, look at this, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Look what verse 4 says. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Come on, is anybody learning something tonight? Come on, this is encouraging, guys. So let me break this down again, making this simple. Basically, when you pull all this together, when God saw the blood, he knew that there was a covenant at that household. That household was in covenant with him, and that God would spread his wings over that home and prevent the destroyer from entering it. Now, I want to talk about, now that was the Old Testament, but let's go to the New Covenant, the New Testament. In Matthew 21, 9, it gives us a depiction of where Jesus fulfilled these details of being, come on, the lamb that would take away the sins of the world. We know according to scriptures that days before his crucifixion, Jesus rode into Jerusalem upon a donkey. There was cries and cheers of jubilation where they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Again, this, you can find this in Psalms 21:9. This is where we get the Palm Sunday, because this is when this took place. They all laid out the palm branches out on the streets and they waved their branches, and this was called the triumphal entry again on Palm Sunday. Now, we know, according to other verses like John 12, that this occurred on the same day that Passover, that the Passover lamb was being escorted into the temple in preparation for its sacrifice. And watch this, that sacrificial lamb would ultimately be Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So it was taking place at the exact same time that the Hebrew people was commemorating the Passover from the liberation of Egypt in Exodus 12 that we read about. Again, all this took place, and it would have been on the 10th day of Aviv. We know, again, all the trial leading up to this event where he was brought before the Romans, he was brought before Pontius Pilate, he was brought before the synagogues, he was brought before the Pharisees, and they consistently tried to find fault in him. Matthew 22:15, and then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. We also see in Matthew 22:46, and no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. Even, listen guys, even Pontius Pilate in John 18:38 said, quote, I find no fault in him at all. So the point I'm trying to make is he was the male spotless lamb. Let me take it a little bit further. According to Exodus 12, the male spotless lamb was to be slayed between the evenings, and the scripture is very clear about what time Christ would have been taken to be scourged, and then he would be led to Golgotha, where he would finally be crucified. Here it is, ready? Mark 15:25, John 19:14-16. That's our scriptural references. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, quote, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, and they took him and led him away. Matthew 27:45-46-50. Now from the sixth hour into the ninth hour, there was darkness upon all of the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, basically he was saying, Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me, in Hebrew? And he yielded up his spirit. Now here's something very else. This is something very, also very intriguing, in my opinion. During all this time, the soldiers whipped Jesus, took thorns, and fashioned a crown, the crown of thorns, upon his head, which caused bleeding. This was reminiscent of the first Passover lamb about noon. Again, Jesus was led to Golgotha, where he was eventually on a tree, suffering there for the next 3 hours, suffocating and slowly bleeding to death. Listen to, according to John 19:34 and other verses, there was wounds that caused massive amounts of blood loss, and they were found in three places of his body, his feet, his hands, and upon his head. Now, why is that significant? Because these three points on his body reminded us of the blood that was at the foot of the door and the blood posted on the lintel and two doorposts of the Hebrew homes in Egypt. Guys, it is an absolute picture and parallel prophetically of Christ that would come. Now, here's kind of where I want to land this plane today, because we've plowed in a lot of this. Now's when I want to take this home. What does this mean for us? What does this mean for me? Here's what it means for us, guys. Is, again, I want to reiterate what I said earlier. If the blood of an earthly lamb and under the old covenant was able to ward off the death angel, was able to protect and shield from the judgment of God and preserve our family, how much more under the New Testament, New Covenant, and the blood of Jesus, come on, is Christ, his angels, and the blood of Jesus able, come on, to protect, preserve and reserve us until the time of the end, until we finish that which God has began a good work in us. Now look, that may not do nothing for you, but it does for me, because we're living in perilous times, in case you've been living under a rock somewhere, or your head's been buried in some warm, nice sand somewhere. Just turn on the news, look at the headlines, read the news, read the headlines, watch the news. Look what's happening around the world. There is fears, there is anxieties, there is worry on every corner. There's wars, rumors of wars. There is nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There is plagues, pestilences, and famines, and earthquakes in various places. There's false prophets rising up. Disasters are taking place left and right and around every corner. I don't know about you, but with all that going on, come on, it gives me peace and assurance to know. Come on, if I'm in Him, if I can be found in Him, if for me and my household, if we stay, come on, under the blood, we stay in Christ, in Him, found in Him, He is well able to preserve, protect, and reserve me and my household until, come on, the day that we finish our race. Come on, because He, the Bible says, He is faithful to finish a good work in which He began in us. Come on, if He be for us, who can be against us? Proverbs says, I believe it's in Proverbs 34 or Proverbs 37, that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear Him and delivers them out of all their troubles. Malachi told me there's a book in remembrance. If I fear God, if I meditate upon His word, if I stay in covenant with Him, if I stay, come on, in His presence, I'm proactively pursuing my relationship with Him. He says that He has got my name and my family's name written in a book in heaven. He said, I am like a precious jewel to Him. He said, I'll keep him, I'll spare him on that day. I, the Lord, will make a distinction between those who know me and those who don't, those who serve me and those who don't. I want to remind you, I want to take you all the way back to the Exodus out of Egypt. Your Bible says that when God led them out of Egypt, the Bible says that He led them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. I said He led them out with silver and gold. He allowed them to spoil the Egyptians. They came out with provision. They came out with protection. They came out with every need supplied. They had supernatural occurrences. They had a cloud by day. They had a fire by night. They had a rock that would come with water coming out of it. Come on. They had the Lord God with them. And again, I want to emphasize something. The Bible says that there was not one feeble one among them. Did you know that not only did God instruct the original Hebrews to take the blood of the lamb and apply it on the doorpost, but He said you're to take the body and you're to eat the body. You're to roast it. You're to eat of the body. Jesus said, unless you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you can have no part of me. He says of the Lord's Supper, He said, do this often and do it as you in remembrance of me. Come on. And what I did for you. I want to tell you today that God made a covenant with the nation of Israel in Exodus 15:26. He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God who heals you. I want to tell you, there's more than just protection in the blood of Jesus, but there is healing power in the blood of Jesus. Come on, there's healing power in the blood of Jesus today. I want to close this podcast right now. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your stance is. I don't know what your position is in your relationship with Christ. You may be watching from afar off. You may be listening because somebody invited you in. You have no relationship. You have no covenant with God. You have no relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never given your heart to the Lord. Well, friend, today is your day. We stop everything. We stop the show. And we say right now, if that's you, I implore you today to stop playing games. It's time to get in the family of God, under the blood of Jesus. Come on, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We could be in a nuclear war. We could have another plague breakout. We could have all kinds of things that could happen. And in any day, we could go and pass into eternity. So if you're listening, you're watching today, I'm going to pray for you right now. And guys, don't check out because we've got more for you. I'm just talking to the sinners today. I'm talking to those that are away from God. I know, oh, you shouldn't say the word sinners. Guys, I am not a politically correct preacher. I am an old school Pentecostal preacher in a young man's body. Everybody's always told me that. They say you are an old time Pentecostal preacher in a young individual's body or a young man's body. And I, you know what? I'll accept that. I used to laugh at that, but I'll take that. That is a compliment. Because I believe in the old paths. The prophet said, repent. He says, ask for the old paths and walk in it. So we're going to call it like it is. We're not going to skirt around the subject. We're not going to be politically correct here. I'm not worried about offensive words here today. A sinner is a sinner. Listen, if you don't have a covenant with God and you're out here living for yourself and living in the flesh and living for the world, the Bible, not me, not Brother Ricky, the Bible calls you a sinner. But I've got good news for you today. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But come on, Jesus Christ is the chief savior of sinners. No man can come unto the Father, but through the Son. There is no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. So if you're, listen, the bad news is you may be a sinner today, but the good news is you can leave this podcast, come on, a new creation in Christ, come on, and all things become new. So I want to pray for you right now. And then we're going to shift gears and we're going to pray for everybody else. Come on, if you're watching, you're listening, don't just spectate, pray with me. Intercede with me. The Bible says in Matthew 18, 19, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. I want you to stretch your hands. I know it may sound a little flaky. It may sound a little weird. But just, I'm telling you, God will honor this. I want you to come into agreement with me and we're going to pray for those individuals right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there be anybody watching or listening today, they're away from you. They don't know you. They've never had a relationship with you. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would begin to prick their hearts right now. He would begin to convict them. Lord, He would move in their hearts. Lord, the Bible says that loving kindness leads us unto repentance. I pray as they feel the love of God, right now in their living room, in their car, in their vehicle, in their home, in wherever they're at, as the love of God penetrates their hearts, their minds, and their spirits, I pray as if there's tears start flowing as they open their mouth and they repent of their sins, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come into their heart by the Holy Spirit, that you would wash them in the blood of Jesus today, and that you would inscribe their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, friend, if you're watching, the Bible says if you'll repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The book of Romans says that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, you shall be saved. So listen, if you did that today, we rejoice with you, and all of heaven rejoices over one sinner. Because this is far more important than anything else we could have said or did today. So we celebrate with you. We praise God for you. And listen, if that's you, please contact us, endtimeheadlines@yahoo.com. Go to our main website. There's a contact form. Do that. Let us know. Email us, message us, whatever the case may be. Now listen, for everybody else that's watching, listening, you're under the blood. You're in covenant with Him. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. How does this encourage you? How does this encourage me, Brother Ricky? Here's what it encourages you with. To know, friend, that we have, come on, the promises and blessings of God and His covenant. I believe that He is well able to protect, preserve, and reserve us until we have finished our race, until our time has come No matter what happens out there, the wars may come, the famines may come, the plagues may come, the pestilence may come. I believe that he has me under the shadow of his wings, under the blood of Christ, under the blood of Jesus. And if there be anybody that's listening and you're sick in your body, you have infirmities, you have diseases, you have ailments, you have weaknesses, you have a diagnosis, come on, stand on Exodus 15:26. He said, if we will heed his word and do what is right in his sight, actively pursuing our covenant with him, the Lord said, I will put none of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He speaks in past tense because it was fulfilled, and Isaiah spoke of it in Isaiah chapter 53, where it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Isaiah says, are, and Peter says, were. Peter points back to Golgotha. He points back to Calvary. He points back to the atonement, where the blood was shed on that cross for our redemption and our healing. Hallelujah. So if that's you today, come on. We've already dealt with salvation and redemption, but if you're sick in body, come on, just receive this today by faith. Say, Father, come on, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you. Not for you, with you. I'm going to receive this for myself. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your word and your promises that are yes and amen. I thank you according to the word of God in Exodus 15:26. I thank you according to your word that you are the Lord God, our healer. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord, our healer. I thank you according to 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes we were healed. It's already been done. It's already been purchased. I receive it by faith today, God. That Isaiah said, by your stripes, we are healed. Lord, you yourself bore our sicknesses and took our infirmities. You were the lamb that took our infirmities. You took the sins of the world upon you. Lord, I thank you today, and I receive it in my body today. Lord, I bind all sicknesses, infirmities, and diseases in Jesus' name. Lord, I receive healing over, come on, blood disorders, healing in joints and bones and muscle and sinew. Lord, I receive healing in organs, healing in Jesus' name, healing of all kinds of ailments and sicknesses and diseases and autoimmune disorders. Father, I receive it today. I receive it for myself. I receive it for my household. Lord, I pray that the people of God, those in covenant that are listening and are watching, I pray that they receive it today, Lord. Lord, I give you permission today. Have your way in this podcast. Heal the sick, heal those that are bound in diseases and infirmities, and they have grim reports. Lord, we shall believe the report of the Lord today, and we declare it today. We walk in it today by faith, and we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. Guys, I want to close with one last thing. This is a really cool thing here. Give me five more minutes. I promise you, you will not regret it. There was five cups at Passover. This is tradition. There was five cups at Passover. Four of these are all represents four promises the Lord made to his people in Exodus. Okay? Again, this is Jewish tradition. Five cups. Four of these represent these four promises. Number one is the cup of sanctification. Number two is the cup of deliverance. Number three is the cup of redemption. And number four is the cup of praise. Okay? Again, these four cups. The Messiah sanctifies us, John 17:19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. He also delivers us, the cup of deliverance. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Galatians 4:4 and 5. Messiah redeems us. But when the fullness of time had come, Galatians 4:4-5, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. John 15:11, Messiah is our joy, or the cup of praise. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. And then, listen to me, this is really cool, guys. There was the fifth cup that would be present at the table that was empty, and the fifth cup was turned upside down. And according to tradition, this was called the cup of Elijah. Now, why? Because they actually believed, come on, this is a Jewish tradition, that they believe that Elijah will return in the last days. Now, where do they get this? Malachi 4:5-6. Ready? Watch this. This is Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Again, that's Malachi 4. Now, some will say, well, that was John the Baptist. No. Let's read Luke 1:13. Let me show you this. Now, this is Luke 1:13. Look what it says of John. But the angel said it to Zacharias, that's the father of John the baptizer, John the Baptist. For listen to what it says. For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Listen to what it says about John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Now here it is. He will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. It didn't say he was Elijah. Because, listen, Elijah the prophet was taken up in a chariot of fire, never saw physical death. He is being supernaturally reserved in heaven. He did appear on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and spoke to Jesus about what he would suffer in the days ahead as he was heading to Calvary to be crucified. But John came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. Why? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom to the just, to make ready a people of the Lord. Again, I want to emphasize this, guys. John came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah, had the same attributes and characteristics of the original Elijah, but he was not Elijah. But I want to show you this. Revelation 11, I believe the original Elijah the prophet is coming back to the earth just as Malachi prophesied. God said, I will send Elijah the prophet in the last days. Listen to me. He's coming, and he's going to be one of the two witnesses that will enter into Jerusalem in Revelation 11. I pulled this right up here on the screen. Here's what's really cool about this, guys. If you read, I'm going to read the passage about this, but if you read verses 1-3, all from Revelation 11, 1 through 3, talks about a third temple coming, a physical temple that will be built in Jerusalem. Now, think about that in light of all the red heifer madness going on and the sacrificial red heifer. By the way, there was a lot of rumor speculating that red heifer would be sacrificed and that ceremony would take place during this Passover season. Now, I've not heard anything as of today, but again, remember, we have 7-8 days of Passover all the way to April 30th. So it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens here. But let me get down here. Verse 3, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. By the way, you can find that in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah saw the two witnesses. He describes them. These are not. Listen, there's a channel out there. They do great as far as certain things with Bible prophecy, but they missed it big time on this. And they have a whole video telling people that the two witnesses is the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. No, the two witnesses are two physical men that will come in the last days. There's a great divide in the body of Christ of who these two witnesses is. There's one camp that says that it's Elijah and Enoch, and another camp says it's Elijah and Moses. I tend to lean towards Elijah and Enoch because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. And Elijah and Enoch were the only two men in the entire Bible, 66 books of the Bible, that never saw physical death. And Elijah, come on, I believe is one of the two witnesses that, don't miss it, will return in the tribulation. By the way, this happens in the first 42 months or 3.5 years of the tribulation. They show up in Jerusalem. They start prophesying. They start casting fire down from heaven. They're able to shut up the heavens. There's no rain upon the land. They're able to strike the earth with plagues and all this. And then you read down to Revelation 11:7. And it tells the Antichrist himself will have them slain. They'll lay in the streets and for like 3 days, and the world will rejoice because they all just witnessed the slaying of these two prophets. Think about the condition of the earth, guys, that they would rejoice over the slaying of God's righteous prophets in the land. Don't miss what I'm saying. Come on. Did anybody get anything out of this today? This is this is why I love the seasons of the Lord our God. These are not the, listen, and somebody might be listening to this and say, well, I don't like this stuff because this is Judaism. This is that Jewish stuff. No. God says these are the feast of the Lord, friend. It don't say these are the feasts of the Jews. These are the feast of the Lord. And listen, if you've got a problem with the feast of the Lord and you plan on being in heaven and you plan on being here in the new millennial and you plan on coming back with Christ, Jude says that, behold, the Lord comes out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints. If you plan on being in that bunch, you better, listen, you better get over it and you better get used to the 7 feast of Israel, honey, because we're going to be celebrating them in the new millennial reign as well. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, please don't forget to hit the like button, hit the share button, hit that bell notification. If you enjoy content like this, it helps us push this out. Again, get our app today. That's how you can keep up with our ministry. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and have everything right at your fingertips. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry blesses your family, encourages you, equips you, and you would like to partner with us, we want to give you 2 ways you can do that. You can do it electronically through the app right there on the left of your screen. That's the easiest way. Or through the main website. That'd be on the right of your screen. If you're watching the visual, right there at the bottom, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Or right in the center of your screen, if you wish to give by check or money order, you can simply make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, I want to thank you and appreciate you guys taking the time out tonight on this first day of Passover. Now you can get excited about the feast of the Lord, the prophetic significance of it. What does it mean? How does it apply to us? You got a lot to pray about, and you got a lot of word to stand on and things to look out for. So it's exciting times. We commemorate what the Lord did in the past. We stand on his promises of the present. And we're looking forward to, and it's going to be interesting to see if, and I say if, huge if this red heifer or heifers is ready for this sacrifice, then my friends, that means we are stepping into prophetic overdrive and things are wrapping up real soon. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you again. We are going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here tomorrow night, Lord willing, April 23rd, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great program. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.